Welcome to this podcast from the Medical Journal of Australia. My name is Sam Hunt, the MJA's news and online editor. Today we are discussing water fluoridation in Queensland. It follows the publication of new research in the Medical Journal of Australia entitled Socioeconomic Status and Access to Fluoridated Water in Queensland, an Ecological Data Linkage Study. My special guest is Mr. Christopher Sexton, who led the research. He is a biostatistician with an expertise in dental public health at the University of Queensland. Mr. Sexton's research themes are centred around water fluoridation policy in Queensland and oral epidemiology. Mr. Sexton, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Sam, for the invitation. I'm very happy to be here today.
Mr. Sexton, before we dive into your research, can you please give me a little bit of background and history to water fluoridation in Australia?
Fluoridation began in Australia in 1953 in Beaconsfield in Tasmania. And by the late 1970s, most Australian cities, large cities, had actually been fluoridated by that point. However, the story within Queensland is a little bit different from the other states. Townsville was the only major city within Queensland that was fluoridated within this period. There were some smaller towns that introduced fluoridation over the years. However, the large, vast majority of Queensland remained unfluoridated, so much so that approximately only 5% of Queensland residents had access to fluoridated water by up to about 2007, 2008. And it's at that point that the Queensland state government actually changed their water policies to actually mandate and provide support for local governments to provide fluoridated water to their residents. So over the subsequent 4 years from there, there was a staged release of water fluoridation plants across the state of Queensland. So we grew from 5% of the population having access to up to 80% of the population having access during that time. However, in 2012, there was a change in government from Labor government to a Liberal government, and there was also then a subsequent change in policy. The state changed its policy to put the decision back in the hands of the local government and remove that funding that they were going to provide. Resultingly, some local councils decided to cease their water fluoridation plans. Some governments never started water fluoridation, and then other local councils had decided to continue with their water fluoridation plans. What we currently have is over the 10 plus years since 2012 has been a slow decline in the rates of water fluoridation access within Queensland from 80% down to approximately 72% is estimated have access to fluoridated water at the moment. And also, we consequently have regions in Queensland that have varying levels of access to fluoridated water. So some councils have never had fluoridation, some have ceased fluoridation, some have had fluoridation for a very long time, others have only had fluoridation for the last 15 or so years.
And Mr. Sexton, let's turn to your recent research entitled Socioeconomic Status and Access to Fluoridated Water in Queensland. Can you talk me through why you chose to study this and how you overlaid socioeconomic data and water fluoridation data?
So firstly, dental caries or dental decay, as it's commonly known, is a highly prevalent non-communicable disease. Our previous measures of Australian children less than 10 has showed that up to 2 in 5 children have evidence of caries. Now, like many non-communicable diseases, there is a socioeconomic gradient for the disease. So in other words, it has a higher prevalence in lower socioeconomic groups and then higher socioeconomic groups. The adjustment of fluoridation levels in public drinking water is a population level health intervention that has been shown to reduce the prevalence of this disease, though. Our study wanted to investigate access to water fluoridation within Queensland. We wanted to look at which residents were actually receiving its benefits. And then we wanted to also investigate to see if residents in lower socioeconomic regions were being further disadvantaged compared to higher socioeconomic regions that received the intervention. To do this, we applied for water fluoridation access to Queensland Health. We also accessed publicly available data from the Australian Bureau of Statistics. I was then able to overlay, as you mentioned, the information from Queensland Health with information from the Australian Bureau of Statistics to see how do these access and socioeconomic statuses correlate with each other.
And Mr. Sexton, let's go through the findings of your research, and perhaps we'll touch on the limitations of your research as well.
firstly, I will start with a limitation. One of the big limitations of our study is that we were using an ecological study design. Now, what that means is we've actually analyzed areas rather than people. So our results that we're talking about are generalizations for a region rather than at an individual level. I also know that we have overestimated the number of residents within Queensland that do have access. We have not accounted for people who do not have access to the mains water supply. We have assumed that everyone within a given region actually has access to the water that they're being supplied for by that region. And we know that that assumption isn't quite correct. We found that approximately 80% of residents within Queensland have access to water fluoridation. The true figure for that is actually around 72%, as estimated by the Queensland Health Water Department. What we also noticed with that access to water fluoridation was that it's actually concentrated in within the southeast of Queensland. And if anyone is aware of what Queensland is like and its population and distribution, the southeast of Queensland is not representative of the other regions across the state as well. So we found overall that there was actually a very strong association between access to fluoridated water and socioeconomic status at a region level. The results showed that higher socioeconomic status regions were more likely to have access to fluoridated water than lower socioeconomic regions. The differences in that statement, though, were very stark. And we believe that this can contribute to further inequalities in oral health across the state. Our results overall showed that almost 75% of regions that have access to fluoridated water have higher socioeconomic position than 75% of the non-fluoridated regions. They are very stark differences between those who have access to it and those who do not have access for it.
And Mr. Sexton, turning now to the implications of your findings, the Australian Dental Association Queensland said local councils do not have the public health expertise to make informed decisions about fluoride, and you and your fellow researchers are calling for water fluoridation decisions and funding responsibility to be returned to the Queensland government.
Currently, the state government is responsible for providing dental services to public dental services. They are the ones that would benefit the most from providing water for fluoridation to their residents. It would see a decrease in the need for their services. So we believe that it should actually, the decision to fluoridate should be provided, should be made by the state government and funded by the state government, as they are the ones that would receive the benefit. The current regulations separate the benefits of providing this service to the funding that has to be provided by those local councils.
And Mr. Sexton, stepping outside your research for a moment and speaking anecdotally, what are some of the reasons that local councils are not putting fluoride in water?
One would be that the local councils do not want to be providing a health service. They have made the decision at a council level that that is the responsibility of the state government to provide that service. Therefore, we should not be providing a health service. That is beyond our remit. That is one clear decision.
It sounds like it's very much a state decision. Do you believe that there is growing willpower at the state level to reintroduce compulsory fluoridation, or are we still some way from that?
I would love to answer that as with a positive. I would love to see some growing movement towards having water fluoridation provided to all Queensland residents. It is a state that has had the highest burden of dental disease compared to the other states. So I would like to say yes. However, I don't know if there's evidence to say that there is a growing movement.
And Mr. Sexton, do you have anything else to add?
Unfortunately, the state government's decision to not provide this service does leave dentistry or dental health in the hands of the individual within Queensland. So the next question does become, what can we do? What can we recommend to our patients to help manage their dental health? Firstly, I'd probably have to recommend, like we would for many patients, would be to recommend to limit the intake of added sugars into the diet. Further to that, children in non-fluoridated areas should be using standard or adult fluoridated toothpaste. And as always, continue to see an oral health practitioner regularly as well.
Mr. Sexton, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much for your time, Sam.
My special guest has been Mr. Christopher Sexton, a biostatistician with an expertise in dental public health at the University of Queensland. His research themes are centred around water fluoridation policy in Queensland and oral epidemiology. You can read his research by clicking the link in the description of this podcast. You can find more podcasts on our website at mja.com.au or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for listening.